Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew Piché. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Hanging in there, Jim. I know you're fighting cough due to cold, so thank you for kicking in, sir. I know you'd rather be in bed. That's where you probably should be, to be honest with you. But, you know, you were questionable. Now you're probable, and you're showing up on game day. You can make it through an hour. Thank you. Boy, you know, we were going to talk a little football, but there's literally nothing else to talk about when it comes to Penn State football.
We know what we've got to talk about, Andy. I'm fighting through it. You play hurt, you don't play injured. I'm just hurting this day. So we will fight it through. Got some important stuff to talk about. As you said, it's not about football at Penn State. It's all about the coaching situation. Andy, it's so fluid. We keep hearing so many different things. Maybe by the time folks hear this, our take will be outdated, but we'll go as far as we can. This past week, the big news was Satake, the coach at Brigham Young. Andy, let me quickly give you my take on all this.
Oh, quick take.
I'm going to start. Okay, I'm going to throw this out, and then you could have the floor. But I think it's important to look at this, everything pre-Satake and post, okay? Prior to it, no matter how much the national media wanted to beat up on Pat Kraft and Penn State and all that, I'm like,
it's the media's fault now.
No, hold on. It was totally unfair because they had no idea what was going on. Nobody did. I'm not saying Pat Kraft was doing a good job at that point, but I'm also not saying he's doing a bad job. We didn't know because we knew nothing. Any name thrown out there, it was just that. The name was being thrown out there until this past week. Then, all of a sudden, it became real reporting. The BYU coach, this appeared to be the guy that Pat Kraft was after. Whether you like that choice or not, and by the way, I did not, but that's not relevant. He pointed out this is his guy. Guess what? He didn't get his guy. And in the meantime, all the other possibilities, they were coming off the board, Andy. So now Pat Kraft has put himself in a position that it's a bad position to be in. No matter who he comes up with, and it may be a great coach, but it wasn't the first choice. It's a bad look for Pat Kraft, and now we got to question whether Pat Kraft could even survive this.
Yeah, there's a bunch of layers to this. I'm going to start with this. You heard the term fired for cause, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's heard that. Penn State has a case for its athletic director. This is mismanagement. And maybe miscalculation at the highest level. This early national signing day left, I'm sure we'll get to that over the course of today's show, has come and gone, Jimmy. Worse than a dumpster fire. Long term, not a big deal. Short term, long term, get a big deal. Here's what I'm thinking. Pat Kraft and Penn State, whether you believe it or not, has been operating like a truly elite program, like one of those five or six, like a destination job, right? I think the market's telling them that they're not, right? You have, in order to pull coaches away from, you know, equally as probably high profile jobs or their alma maters, Satake, for example, you don't pry them away unless you are one of the destination jobs, right? Like an Alabama, you know, see LSU and Lane Kiffin in the nightmare. See Ohio State, right? See Michigan, just to name a few. See Georgia, right? So They want to think they're in there, but the market's telling them that they're not. So it's a good job. It's a really good job, but it might be the fourth or best job in the Big Ten, right? So there's an expectation that James Franklin ran into a wall against with winning titles and you know, being nationally relevant. And that's a difficult bridge to gap. I think Pat miscalculated that, it seems. And coaches, I really feel that for all the noise out there, coaches simply are hesitant to come to an uncomfortable situation where they feel meeting the expectations would be difficult. That's why I've always said this is a niche and very nuanced job. He's not looking for the best. He's looking for the right. I think he just continued to look for the best, the best, the best. And it was never the right guy for the job. So he lost. Elite coaches have said no. Second tier coaches, see Chesney and Hartline, are scooped up and gone. You know, there's what's left, Jimmy? Really? Where's left for him to turn? I mean, it was last weekend was moving day, and Penn State got caught holding the 50-day. We had the longest search time of anybody. They got caught holding the newspaper in their hand or the magazine or their phone. They got caught holding their hand going, where did everybody go? So it is a mess. The clock was ticking the entire time. We had talked about, and everybody talked about, December 3rd, early national signing day, transfer portal day. Whatever you do, have something in place by then. It doesn't matter. Yes, it matters what the decision is, but the timeline, as screwed up as the college football calendar is, that's your timeline. Okay, it's screwed up. I don't disagree. But that's what it is. That's what you need to fix and work under. And, you know, it's gone. The ship sailed massively, and Penn State's got a problem. Penn State has a – now they've got a football problem. Now they've got a talent acquisition problem. They continue to have a bunch of an entire coaching staff, which includes, you know, a lot of Penn State lettermen / alumni, all standing there looking around going, which way do we go? Nobody knows. The athletic director is not steering the ship. End of story. Fire for cause.
Let me I agree with most of what you said, Andy. My differences are subtle, but let me give them to you. Until that past weekend, I think some of the coaches, I'm sure that he targeted, you know, like a Kurt Cignetti is probably the obvious target. The world of college football has changed. 5 years ago, if Penn State had offered the Indiana coach, whoever it is, their job, they would take it, no matter what.
Correct.
The difference now is these coaches, these schools, these programs are now not giving up their coach so easily. Indiana is saying, hey, whatever they're paying at Penn State, whatever they're offering you, we'll match it to keep you here. Okay. Now, you know, and I think it didn't matter at that point who the other school was offering Kurt Cignetti. If Indiana was going to match it, didn't matter. He was going to stay at Indiana. So I don't think that's a reflection on the Penn State job. I think it's more a reflection of how college football works today, much different than it did just 5 years ago or four years ago, even, or probably even 3 years ago.
Don't disagree.
The other part to it, Andy, is the coaches that came off the board. Now, set Chesney and Hartline aside for now because they were hired during the week. Let's go back to last weekend. Is there any coach that went anywhere that you say Penn State missed the boat by not hiring them? And I'll give you the list of names real quickly just so you have them. Pat Fitzgerald went to Michigan State. I know you like him.
Bang. But
I think there's I think there's some extenuating circumstances there that make it different.
You need a spot to, you need your job filled. Next.
Lane Kiffin at LSU.
No.
Pete Golden promoted at Ole Miss.
No.
John Sumrall to Florida.
I like John Sumrall, but he was never going to Penn State. He's a really great candidate, but no, he's a no.
Alex Golish to South Florida. No. Ryan Silverfield to Memphis.
Yeah, no.
James Franklin to Virginia Tech.
You fired him. Right.
So I don't think anyone came off the board that Penn State should have said, oh, my God.
Pat Fitzgerald. He's if he was still standing today, I think Penn State would be going after him.
I don't, Penn State in their hiring process is so paranoid, Andy. And I think not rightfully so.
Yeah.
I don't think the issues that Pat Fitzgerald had at Northwestern should have been a factor in this. I mean,
Michigan,
Michigan State hired him without, you know, any controversy, really. A couple of things were mentioned, but it really didn't even slow them down in the hiring process. It happened so quickly. So I don't think the coaches that came off the board, but it's a situation where apparently we said all along, giving Pat Kraft the benefit of the doubt was he's probably got his guy. And it may be a guy we have no idea who it is. Well, sure enough, Kalani Sitake, Brigham Young. No one had even mentioned his name, Andy. He was the guy. Whether you agree or not, this was the guy Pat Kraft picked out, and he couldn't close the deal.
He got undercut by money. He undersold the value of Brigham Young's ability to keep him there. This is where I go back to saying that, you know, overall, they might not be that destination job that they think they might be. You know, I still think the only thing I can see right now is I think they can target somebody maybe who's coaching this weekend, i.e., there's not many of them if you think about it. It's Caleb DeBoer. But then you're bringing the Shiitake thing into, you know, can they pay enough money? Is that a lateral transfer? Jimmy, what are they going to do? Like, okay, everything's behind us. What are they going to do?
That's the question. We'll give the answer in quarter number two, or at least we'll try to. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim. He's Andy. We're talking about this atrocious situation at Penn State with the coaching situation with Pat Kraft. And Andy, you say that I often make the media the scapegoat. I do. And I think there are situations where it was set up. Some of the criticism of Penn State, I'll say, I'm not going to use the word unwarranted, but I'll say not totally fair. And one of the big things, narratives that we're hearing is, gee, Penn State, they fired James Franklin before anyone else fired their coaches so they could get a head start. And here they are. They got the head start and they still didn't get their coach. They didn't fire James Franklin to get a head start, Andy.
They did not.
They fired him because they had to.
Yeah, because it was untenable and they had to fire him. Yeah, it was it was toxic and untenable. The timing dictated it to them. Penn State didn't get to dictate the timing of his firing. That's not true.
I agree. And it was even we don't know what was happening inside the locker room. I suspect there were issues because you don't lose back-to-back games to UCLA and Northwestern as more than 3 touchdown favorites unless there's some issues in the locker room. Agreed?
Right. Did you watch the football product after he was fired? And next.
Right. I'm in agreement, Andy.
Yeah, next.
But I think you also had this momentum of outside forces, you know, kind of forcing the issue. You know, if the fans were chanting, "We love James Franklin," as opposed to "Fire Franklin," it may have bought him some time, okay? But outside forces, media pressure, where I'm headed with this, Andy, is are we getting to that same point? And I think you're going to say yes. You know, Pat Kraft, it's not just if you and I don't think he's doing a great job at it, but the masses, the fans, Penn State Nation.
The
national narrative, no matter how inaccurate it might be in different right. aspects of this, Neely Penabuti, the president of the university, the board of trustees, these people read the newspapers. No, well, they read the articles online. Yeah. They listen to podcasts. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are listening to us right now, Andy. They hear all the talk. Can Pat Kraft survive this?
I don't see it. I have a hard time seeing it, Jimmy. Mismanagement, right? Like, so they didn't fire James Franklin to give them more time to find a new head coach. The byproduct or the opportunity cost that you gained by firing Franklin when you did, because it had to be done. It had to be done, was you gained time as an ally on your side. And you squandered it. It's gone. You lost it. And, you know, it became, who knew what this world was going to be like in terms of coaching? There isn't much patience anymore. It's a very lucid transit thing. We've talked about the job of the CEO as the head college football coach has changed dramatically in the last just 3 years. I'll say Penn State became sort of, they're one of several schools, but kind of in a way, the kind of guys you thought it might be, they became the contract extension weaver, right? Like if you went on Penn State's big board, you sort of got a contract extension if you were, you know, a targeted head coach, it seems like. So I don't know how you make chicken salad out of this, Jimmy. I don't. How do you make it? What can you do? You missed early national signing day with your head coaching office vacant. No matter what you've done, that couldn't happen, and it did. How do you fix that? I don't know how you – you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. It just seems – is Terry Smith even a name under consideration anymore at that university? I mean, we know he's staying. We know he had outside offers. He's not going anywhere. Heck, something tells me probably not in many ways as well on different fronts, but at the end of the day, could he do Pat's job? Probably, right? Like,
Andy, well, a couple things on that. And we'll talk more about this, but I do think Terry Smith has a chance because of what's going on with Pat Kraft. I think the powers that be might be saying, hey, Pat, you know, here's the answer right in front of you. But it also, Andy, I want to go back to something that you said all along, and you said this about players for Penn State. You said it about coaches.
Yep.
Get the right guy.
Get the right guy.
What does the right guy mean? Well, I think if we use the word culture in ways that I think sometimes we misuse it, but it goes both ways. It's not just do we want a guy who's from around here or who understands Penn State, but does he understand Pennsylvania and Penn State and the Big Ten? Sicati did not. Okay, he was never here. He was never in the area. He was never in the Big Ten. He was never in Pennsylvania. He never recruited out here. There's nothing about him that says this is a guy who should be the Penn State coach. Same thing probably with Kalen DeBoer. Definitely, you know, Lane Kiffin was the most in-demand coach.
Yeah.
But would he have been a fit here, Andy?
Yeah, they couldn't have afforded him, but no.
Okay. So let's talk about the fit here. And this is where I think Pat Kraft went astray. Cignetti had time in Pennsylvania. He's had time coaching in the Big Ten. That's a fit, right? Bob Chesney from Pennsylvania, okay? From down the road from State College. There's a fit there. Brian Hartline. Coached in the Big Ten, coached at a very successful Big Ten program, played in the Big Ten, an Ohio guy. That's similar to a Pennsylvania guy.
Matt Rhule.
Penn State Matt grad, Rhule.
State College High.
Yep. Now,
I know, off the board, but.
Right. He's off the board, but I also don't think he was a good – you want a good candidate job-wise, and you also want right the fit.
He looks pretty good right now.
Not to me. You know, how has Nebraska played? Has he, you know, been the miracle worker there?
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, at the point Penn State's at right now, you know.
Manny Diaz is still out there. And a guy by the name of Terry Smith. Manny Diaz with coaching experience at Penn State. Terry Smith with all kinds of Penn State background, Pennsylvania background, recruiting background. And he's shown some success on the field. So, Andy, there. And what's interesting is those candidates are still available, several of them. And, you know, Chesney and Hartline, you know, the conversation is, and it seems logical, that, you know, Pat Kraft rejected Bob Chesney. You know, he was like, hey, I got my guy. Sorry, see you. Go on, do, you know, whatever. As opposed to keeping the option open. And so here we are, Chesney's going elsewhere. So
mismanagement. He stopped his process because he thought he had his guy. You don't have your guy until they sign the contract. You keep grinding and working, even though you might feel good about it. That's where he screwed up this week. He thought he had the guy from BYU. He thought he had Satake. But that doesn't mean you stop. That's why I think it's fired for cause. You stopped and I mean, literally, Jimmy, are they starting over?
Right?
It's a valid question. Like, it feels like they have to start over. And in the meantime, like, I'm just thinking about it in the near term, short term, next two football seasons. How are they going to get 75 guys on a roster next year if this continues to drag even further? You know what I mean? You already missed the boat on early signing day. Okay, well, there's another signing day in February. Right, yeah, you're going to be able to pick up a player or two, but how are you going to – the transfer portal, frightening. Just frightening right now from a Penn State roster perspective. So this is a dumpster fire. You need to call the fire department. Some kind of solution needs to be met. Terry Smith is a short-term fix. Something tells me that it seems like, it just feels to me, I don't know if this is true. I don't say this to be true. Doesn't it feel to you like Pat thinks Terry Smith is below him naming him as a head coach? It's below him. That's the way it feels to me, the way it's coming out, like, send out a message, send up some white smoke, you know, to let us know that the Pope might be like, send out a, you know, send out something that sends a message to your fan base, to the players. Nothing. Silence. Silence is deadly, especially when you're in a dumpster fire. Silence is killing Penn State right now. And it feels to me like it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It feels like they're starting over. Like the 50 or 60 days that you just had are gone. We're back at 60 days ago. Let's start over. Oh, man.
Well, it's what groundwork was done in those days. Oh. And the problem was, it appears at least that he burned some bridges.
Oh, now, definitely.
And we could talk about this a little bit more. You know, did, Jimmy Sexton, James Franklin's agent, and the agent for most every, you know, major college football coach, yeah, you know, has he sabotaged this whole process? I didn't want to believe that, but I'm beginning to think, yeah, you know, there's negative conversations going on. And again, you don't like me, you know, talking about the media.
It's but, true.
You know, the media is piling on. Anyway, Andy, we're going to pick more up in quarter four. But first, your questions and we ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three, which means it's time for your questions and we get to ask Andy. Andy, let's get right to it. You know, this is our buddy Steve from Maryland, who comes in sometimes, co-hosts the show.
I've seen him. Yep. Good guy.
Steve's not a big fan, was not a big fan of James Franklin. James Franklin's gone.
Not even a little bit.
Steve did not shed a tear for that. I think Steve is shifting his criticism. Here we go. Ooh. Steve said, is there a method to the madness or is Pat Kraft a clown?
Good question. I think there was a method to the madness, but I think right now it's an egg on face guy. I think he's left Holden, and it's just piling on, right? Like, you know, Hartline goes to South Florida. Chesney takes a UCLA job. It's what I feared was, hey, somehow when Pat Kraft sent out smoke signals, it was only one thing. I have my guy, it's Shiitake, the BYU coach. Everybody else, he did not manage the process well. In other words, you keep your marshmallows over the fire, even though your one's burnt and tastes really good. You still keep the other marshmallows cooking. Right. I don't think he did that. And it became clear that anybody else was his second choice, was a second choice. So, and now they're piling on, right? Like you didn't get it done before the early signing day. Your recruiting class becomes a mess. The clock now is rapidly ticking on. Your roster is about to be in tatters. Yes, there was a method and he did. I'm convicted that he had an A, B, and C thought process and plan, and he had some extra time to do it. It's the measure of it is what happens when it goes sideways on you. In other words, it's like on the football field. When it doesn't go your way, it's not that it didn't go your way, it's how you respond. The response hasn't been any good this week, Jimmy. It hasn't been good at all. So his response is just as poor now as the execution.
You know, Mike Tyson always said, it's great to have a plan when you step in the ring, but everything changes when you get punched in the face.
Exactly.
He was punched in the face and he wasn't ready for it. Now, right. Where I think it's self-inflicted is Kalani Sitake was the wrong guy to put your eggs in the basket. And I'm going to keep going back to, Andy, what you've been saying over and over and over again. Get the right guy.
Not the best guy.
And a guy who Sitake might – all indicators are he's a wonderful coach. He's done a lot with
– very good football coach.
Doesn't matter.
Horse for the course.
Part of this culture thing is not just does recruits and fans and everyone respond to the coach here in Pennsylvania, but – would he want to be here? Does he have a connection? And he doesn't. And many of those other guys, you know, Hartline and Chesney and Manny Diaz and Terry Smith, they have a connection here. Kalani Sitake does not. So he put his eggs in the wrong basket, and he shouldn't be surprised that he lost out on the guy. All right. Let's go to Tony in Philadelphia, who says, am I the only one who is so sick of the coach search? It is embarrassing. Hire Terry Smith, please.
Right. Yeah, I think it's what Pat Kraft really doesn't want to do. But as the clock ticks.
Let me ask you a question, Andy. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but sure. I want to ask you a question. You say Pat Kraft really doesn't want to do it. Is it because he doesn't believe Terry Smith is the right guy for the job? Or now it's become, he wasn't my first choice. I'm digging my heels in. I'm being stubborn. If I hire Terry Smith now, it means I made a concession.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think all along he's thought Terry Smith wasn't even somebody he was seriously considering because he felt as a head coaching candidate for Penn State. This goes back to my initial statement in quarter number one. Penn State and Pat have been operating sort of in some ways in this coaching search, like they're at a level they might not be at. And the market is telling them you're not. So yeah, I thought it was all below. I just think he felt all along it was something that would have been a loss for him. For him, as the athletic director, and he gets to pick his guy, Terry Smith would be a losing proposition. But the circumstances have changed. Now you're in a chicken salad made out of chicken you-know-what show.
Do you know what, Andy? Initially, I felt the same way as Pat Kraft, that Terry Smith was not the right guy. But you just talked about circumstances. I'll sometimes tell stories about my father. I don't know if my father was the smartest man in the world, but he was the wisest man I've ever met, okay? And there's a difference.
Correct.
My father and I used to have a lot of debates on things. We'd take different sides. One time, we're having a debate. A week later, you know, I've got extra supportive argument, the same argument. He switches sides on me. I'm like, Dad, a week ago you were saying this. Now you're saying that. Jim, times and circumstances change.
Times and circumstances change.
Well, you know what? I believe times and circumstances have changed on Terry. In the beginning, I didn't think Terry had a chance to get the job or should. He had no college head coaching experience. He was a position coach. I didn't think the right personality, you know, the CEO personality, I didn't think any of that was there. Now I've witnessed Terry after X number of weeks. I saw the team perform under him. The emotion was there. The support was there. But also, technically, I think his X's and O's were better, Andy. I saw him win games.
Let's talk about this in quarter four, Jimmy, because I have some good thoughts on Terry Smith that I would like to share with you in relation to not the best guy, but the right guy. and how I feel about it and how you're expressing it. I'll just say to this on Tony in Philly, and I'll go a little South Philly on you, talking about Penn State now and its coaching search. I can just drop it in one word. Embarrassing.
All right.
That's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
Let's move on. Let's go to Alan in York, who says, when did Penn State stop being a desirable job? It's a top 10 program, over 100,000 seat stadium. It's going to be renovated. Great alumni support, Big Ten paydays. What am I missing?
Yeah, so there's some nuance and niche about this job that relates to expectations and an understanding of what is realistic today and what was realistic 25 years ago in terms of where Penn State is on it. There are plenty of elements in place, and it is a hard job to sell for the right reasons, Jimmy. It's not a hard job to sell for a lot of, and by the right reasons, I mean, you have to understand the culture a little bit better. There are certain elements that are hard to sell that I don't think coaches today really embrace or care about and understand all that much and really aren't paid to care about that. The college CEO head coach job has changed, but I don't think the Penn State job is one of those that is in that sort of more modern mold where the win at all costs and who cares about anything else. I don't care about character players. I don't care about what it looks like. I only care about winning. Yes, Penn State fans care passionately about winning, but they care just as equally in most cases about how it's done and the process of getting there rather than the result. The result still matters, but at Penn State, this is a good thing. I say this and it's actually a good thing in my opinion. There's a balance that it needs to happen with that doesn't exist very much anymore. That's what I say makes it a little nuanced and niche. But by the markers, check the box, it checks 8 of the 10 of an elite program. Yes.
Andy,
good question, Alan.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't think it's not a destination job. I think it was just so mishandled. Andy, look at the jobs that have been filled. UCLA, just, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's a disaster financially.
I know.
Florida, they've screwed up their money. It's a disaster there.
Yeah, I know.
Arkansas, Auburn, they've been at the bottom of the Southeast Conference for so long. You know, those, they're not attractive jobs, or they shouldn't be. But people, Michigan State, you know.
Penn State's not screwed up, Jimmy. They're not necessarily a mess. That's a little bit of a, you know, there's not a mess. There's not a real mess to clean up. Yeah, right. It's not a mess. It's becoming a mess. But it's 10 days ago, it really wasn't a mess. And coaches today need somewhere to start that they can see where they can go up. That's because that's the only way they can be successful. Penn State's not a mess. Bit of a problem. Not I don't see it as a problem, but in today's culture of college football CEOs and head coaches, if you haven't fallen, well, how are they going to see that as a way to go up? That's the problem.
This is a team that has the money, it has the stadium, it has the fan base.
Resource. Check them.
You know, so Andy, this should be very attractive. I'm still going to say very simple, you know, of all the coaches out there, and we're going to continue this in quarter four, but, you know, you picked the wrong guy, a guy who doesn't fit. You picked the wrong guy, Andy. All right. We're obviously going to keep talking about this. Stick around. We'll be right back after this message.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We obviously are talking about this Penn State coaching situation, Andy. And you had mentioned quarter three, you know, we would pick it up, I think, with Terry Smith. Yeah. And, you know, in fact, it's while we're recording this program that I am just kind of formulating my thoughts, and it's striking me more and more how right you've been, Andy. And that pains me to say it. It pains me, Andy. Yeah. But, you know, when you talked in terms of right guy, Pat Kraft didn't go after the right guy. And, Andy, I think you wanted to talk about Terry Smith and why he might be the right guy.
So when I said that, and when I was thinking of the Penn State job when they fired James Franklin and they promoted Terry, I'm like, okay, you're going to get, what was it, 5 games, 20 quarters of, you know, body of work to look at, an exhibition. And inside the locker room, on the practice field, execution-wise, communication-wise, he inherited a bit of a mess, right? Like, but he knew what he was walking into. And to be honest with you, Jimmy, I know a little bit more about Terry on many levels, having covered him as a high school coach and knowing him from covering Penn State as a person, you know, seeing him go to Temple and watch him do the work there, how he's developed players, how he recruits, talking to recruits who were recruited by Terry. I have inside knowledge in a different way. And my inside, like, so to be honest with you, that it looks like this now at Penn State, how the 20 quarters played out. Like the very first week, I'll go back and I'm listening to Terry and I'm like, they're going to show up and play hard, but they're going to lose to Iowa because they're not ready. In other words, there was a gap that he couldn't close in a week. Right. Then they played Indiana. No, he had 6 games. Ohio State and Indiana. Ohio State, he got a half out of them and just talent took over. Ohio State is just that much better. Arguably, they're the most complete team in the nation. That's going to matter when they were in. Indiana was where it started, but they didn't get the result because Indiana had some magic dust sprinkled on them, right? Like, that's simply it. Those catches were just staggering. But they played at the level how this has played out. Then they won 3 football games in different ways. How it has moved and played out doesn't surprise me one little bit, because this is exactly Terry Smith, the person I know. I'm not surprised. He is loyal, maybe to a fault. He is committed. He is smarter than you think. He's one of those guys who might be the smartest guy in the room every single time, and you'll never know it, because he's humble and he observes what goes on around him and takes it in differently, because he doesn't always think he has the most relevant opinion. That matters. I thought from the beginning, if you'd have put a list together and say, who are the right guys, he'd have been one of the 3 right guys. for me. The three right guys for me would have been Terry Smith, Pat Fitzgerald in order, and Kirk Cignetti. I thought those were the three right guys at Penn State. If you're talking about, I'm not looking for the best one, aka probably Lane Kiffin, Caleb DeBoer, you know, coaches that were involved are going to be involved in the college football playoff. As it moved along, you're like, you have to take them off your board. So that doesn't surprise me. This doesn't surprise me one bit. He's been a right guy all along. I just think Pat never saw him as one of those guys. And in my opinion, for all the things that Penn State has, and they, like I said in the last quarter, they check 8 of those 10 elite boxes. They need the right coach. They actually need a clone of Satake. So BYU has to be considered a niche job too, right? A little bit, Jim. I think we would agree with that. Now they got a former fullback, been there a while. Now he's getting paid at an elite level. Penn State's got to find, it's that guy.
The fit matters.
Yes.
Kalani Sitake fits at BYU. He's the perfect fit there. I don't think, it feels like Pat Kraft never considered that. It was never a factor in this.
Never
brought guys that I see as fits, you know, you brought up Pat Fitzgerald, and it's not me disagreeing with you, Andy. It's just I think Penn State, their mindset, their processing wouldn't allow that. And I'm okay with that because I don't think there's only one man who could do the job here.
I agree.
I think there's so much in place for Penn State already that many people can succeed. And it's like, Pat Kraft's job should be to get that guy and help them succeed. There are things, you know, Terry doesn't have probably the administrative skill set.
Correct. But and there's a lot already built.
The guy who was pretty much the GM, Andy Frank, is gone in some of that other infrastructure. And Terry can't bring that with him from another job. Okay. It would be up to Pat Kraft to fill in those blanks for him.
You get to name a GM to your program.
But also, you know, there's some of these other guys that we've talked about that I specifically talked about. Brian Hartline, Bob Chesney, Manny Diaz. Do you think if those were the guys, any one of those three, you know, Pat Kraft had targeted them the way he targeted Sitake, is there any doubt in your mind that any of those guys would have taken the job?
Manny Diaz is kind of maybe, but the other two I think are they're guys that you would have had to lose for a reason. Yes, they would have come. I would have think they would have taken the job.
Okay. Yeah, they took UCLA jobs or South Florida.
Right.
Yes, they would have taken the Penn jobs. And that's where I think Pat Kraft didn't do his job, okay?
Correct.
And that's an issue that he, I think he didn't handle it well, and now he's paying the consequences. All right, Andy, we are where we are. Okay, man, so now what? Who would you want? What do you think will happen?
When's he going to cut the losses? I mean, I thought after the weekend. I mean, the money now, the resources are now clearly, they're starting to ink out that the resources are behind Terry as well. There's a solution sitting right there waiting for you to say, take the bull by the horns and run with it. I'm not going to let you be the general manager, but you're going to be the head coach. I need to hire a general manager. Set your staff, start recruiting, start holding on to this roster. Stuff needs to be moving. The desk is empty and the cobwebs are getting bigger. At what point are you going to fix this? Right? Like a solution You lost your guy on Monday or Tuesday. All right. It's now heading, it's into the weekend. Fix it. Fine. Okay. This isn't the golden ticket solution, but you need a solution, Jimmy. 24 hours are now becoming dog years to this program. Every day is like dog years now because they're falling further behind at a rapid ascension. Because the college football world moves at breakneck speed now, they're falling behind even further exponentially day by day. Fix it.
And Andy, don't think that things aren't happening on the inside now. Calls are being made. You know, the people in the administration, they read what's going on.
Absolutely.
They're seeing it. Pat Kraft isn't just feeling external heat now. He's feeling internal heat.
This is becoming a Penn State University embarrassment, right? Like, you're an alumni and a fan. You all feel the same. If you're not a football fan and you're a football fan of Penn State, but you're an alumni of Penn State, the embarrassment is now equal. This is a black mark on the institution, a different kind than, you know, the one more than a decade ago. This is completely different. This is self-inflicted. It's got to be fixed.
Give me your prediction, okay, Andy? What is going to happen?
I think we drag into after this weekend and Pat plays the waiting game. I think he has two targets. And I think Caleb DeBoer is, I just feel that sort of makes sense for some reason, but I think it's Manny Diaz and Terry Smith. That's my honest opinion. That's what you're down to. Manny and Terry. And
Andy, I think that's the case. I think
it's down to, you know, the couple guys who would take the job, and you lost a lot of the guys who would, like I said, in Chesney and in Hartline.
Yeah, and this is no fun beating up on them like this, Jimmy, right? Like, but it's the bed that was made for us to look at, right? It's the same for fans and alumni. What the heck is going on? That's the question. Everybody's there. We said it out loud. What in the world is going on up there? That's what you hear more than anything.
And it's, you know, some of this, Andy, it shouldn't be this way. Bill Parcells said, you don't listen to the fans or pretty soon you're going to be sitting with them. Well, the problem with that is when the fans turn on you, the media turns on you, the alums, the donors, the administration, that's what's happening to Pat Kraft. He's got to find a way out of it. I'm with you. I think, Andy, he's got to find a way to save face. And it may end up being bring in Terry and, you know, spin it the best way you can.
Fix it first, then worry about your face.
Andy, that is going to be it. Final word. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.